here we go again. As many of you know, I, Tom Baker, often begin a sermon trying to confuse the lady in the pew, and it's not going to be a problem this coming Sunday, because is Jesus God or man? Well, the answer is yes. Well, as God, does he know all things? Yes. Verse 32, Mark 13. Jesus is speaking about Judgment Day. Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Whoops. How do we resolve that? That's what we're going to be talking about on this Monday, November the 19th, in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO. And as is our custom on Mondays, we take a look at the readings coming up for the 25th of November. And we're going to be taking a look at Mark chapter 13. There are also readings from Jude and also from Daniel 7 and also from Revelation 1 and also from John 18. What? Well, you just mentioned six readings. Well, every now and then, in the three-year reading system, they often will have two sets of three readings. So you actually get six readings, two Old Testament, two Epistle, two Gospel, where we're choosing from the first set, and that's why we're taking a look at Mark chapter 13. All right, how do we deal with this? Well, let me tell you how some people deal with it. They say this proves Jesus isn't God. Yes. If Jesus doesn't know when Judgment Day is coming, then how can he be divine? Because to be divine, you're not only almighty, you're not only omnipresent, but you're also omniscient, which means all-knowing. Well, that's a real problem here. And in fact, I'll tell you how crazy the devil is. He first of all gets a whole group of people to use this verse showing, from their point of view, that Jesus cannot be divine since he doesn't know when Judgment Day is. Then the devil tempts people to try and figure out when Judgment Day is. Do you see how ironic that is? On the one hand, Jesus, if he was not divine, is certainly the first creation, the highest of angels, or whatever you'd want to say. If he can't figure out when Judgment Day is, then how is a sinful human being going to figure it out? That's really something. It's just quite amazing. People actually sell their goods and their homes and thinking that Judgment Day is going to come on a certain day. I've never really figured out why they're selling their homes, because if Judgment Day is truly coming, then all this is going to be put on fire. What are they doing with the money that they got for their homes? Makes no sense at all. But at any rate, this is how crafty the devil is. On the one hand, he tries to use this verse to tell people Jesus isn't divine. Then on the other hand, even though Jesus can't figure out the last day when it's coming, he puts into the minds of, again, unbelieving, sinful human beings that they can figure it out. That's how crafty the devil is. So let's try and figure out, since there are no contradictions in the Bible, and since it is clear that Jesus is divine, he himself says so, he himself says he is God, then how do we understand this verse that if he is God, then how can he not know about the Judgment Day? Well, how do we understand any verse in the Bible? Don't listen to the Pope. Don't listen to your pastor. Don't listen to yourself. Listen instead to the Word of God. Now, you can hear what the Pope has to say and your pastor and what you think, but then you check it out. See, the Pope is really right in a lot of areas, like on infant baptism. even though the majority of evangelicals in the United States of America do not baptize infants, the Pope stands with 80% of Christians throughout the world that do baptize infants. So the Pope is right there. And your pastor is probably right on a whole bunch of areas. And hopefully, if he's Lutheran, he's right on all of them. Now, you still need to check them out. And how do you check them out? Scripture interprets Scripture. As I've said many a time on this program, hey, if I say something that's not correct, phone me up at 505-7850 or toll-free at 1-800-730-2727 and ask me to find the Bible verse. And if I cannot find a Bible verse to back up what I just said, then turn the station. You're talking to a false prophet. Everything needs to be backed up by a Bible verse. That's why when I get in the area of politics, a lot of times you'll hear me say, in my opinion. And therefore, that means I don't have a Bible verse, and it's just a private opinion of mine. You can take it or leave it. But when it comes to theology, I tend not to want to say things like that. I want to be really clear. So, what Bible verse will we be going to? We're actually going to go to the book of Philippians. But before we go to the book of Philippians, as I said, I'm only too happy to take any phone calls. Let's speak with Ed. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Tom. In Philippians there it says he became obedient. He wasn't expecting, or he did not think it blasphemous, I'm on the road right now and I can't get it quite right. But anyhow, he says that Jesus became obedient to the Father, and that's why he didn't know at that time, because he wasn't using his divine mind as a human being.
Well, why don't you just come in and become host? That's exactly what I'm going to be talking about. That's very good, Ed.
All right, sir. Thank you
so much for calling. And boy, did Ed get that right. Philippians chapter 2, and since he was driving, and I'm sure he's still listening, let this be the translation that we can use. I'm reading from the New King James. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so right after the Bible says we're not to look out for our own interests, but for the interest of others, the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians that this is the kind of mind that Jesus had. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus was God, and if he said, I'm God, he wasn't stealing from God, he's God. But, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Okay, and this was the verse that Ed was trying to remember by memory. So let's examine it. First of all, let me say, when Paul says to have the same mind as Jesus, he's not saying you're divine and therefore be humble. He says, no, look it, Jesus was totally divine, but he humbled himself. So whatever you are, you also ought to humble yourself and look out for the interest of others rather than your own self-interest. But how did Jesus humble himself? Well, he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant, that is a human being. He came in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself. We call this the state of humiliation. Remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. And most problematic verses in the Bible are solved by a law and gospel distinction, and we sure have one here. From a law and gospel point of view, it's very clear that Jesus, as a divine person, could not die. You see, I don't know why they don't use this argument. if they're going to use the argument that Jesus isn't divine because he doesn't know about the last judgment day, why don't they use the argument he's not divine because he died? Well, some people say only his human being died. No, God died. We don't make a distinction between the God-man, as though the divine part holds all kinds of knowledge that the human part doesn't know. No, that this is one person, two natures, divine and human. In fact, we're going to find out that after the resurrection and his ascension, the human part of Jesus now shares in the divine attributes. In his humanity, he knows all things. In his humanity, he is everywhere. In his humanity, he is all-powerful. Right now, Jesus Christ is a human being in heaven. That's why he can sympathize with you, according to Hebrews. That's why you can call upon him, and in the day of trouble, he will be there to save you. So, the state of humiliation, unfortunately, this isn't television, it's radio, but try and imagine a blackboard, and on the left side, I have descending stairs, and on the right side, I have ascending stairs. So the descending go to the bottom of the board, and then they start going up again. The left side is called his state of humiliation. The right side is called his state of exaltation. And where do we get these words? From Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him. So there you have the humiliation. And by the way, the word humiliation doesn't mean embarrassment. It means being humbled. So how did Jesus humble himself? Well, what kinds of things can not happen to God normally? Well, first of all, God can't be born. Second of all, God can never be hungry. Third of all, God cannot be sleepy. Fourth of all, God can't feel pain. He also can't die. But in order to take upon himself your sins, Jesus humbled himself. And even though he had these divine attributes of not being sleepy, not being hungry, he did not make use of them in order that he might truly become a human being. In the same way that we are, except for one thing, he was without sin. So we find Jesus sleeping. Remember in the boat? Rough seas? Jesus is on a pillow sleeping. God doesn't need to sleep. Jesus is eating. Jesus dies. This is his state of humiliation. Now, when I was in youth confirmation, the pastor I had, his name was Umbach, U-M-B-A-C-H. He drew on the board those stairs coming down and the stairs going up. On each stair going down, he put the words of the Apostles' Creed. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Now, the next one is, he descended into hell. And this is where it gets a little confusing, because you assume that a descent would be on the stairs going down. But no, it's the first stair going up. Because it's not part of his humiliation or suffering. We're not talking about the hell he experienced when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? We're talking about the hell he went to in 1 Peter 3 after he had risen from the dead. And preach to the spirits in prison. Preach victory. So the descent into hell is the first stair going up. Rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. So on the left side are those ingredients of his humiliation whereby he did not make use of his divine attributes in order that he might die for you. That's what it means. Do not look out for your own interests, Jesus. He looked out for the interests of others. Jesus didn't do anything for himself. He did it for his Father, whom he loved greatly, and he did it for you. The love of his Father was so great that there was no doubt that the thing that he was not looking forward to at the crucifixion was a kind of a separation between him and the Father. And you say, how is that possible? Well, that's just a mystery, where the Bible doesn't give any more information. You see, the Bible gives a lot of information to answer many of our questions, such as, how could Jesus not know if he is God? Because at that time, he was in a state of humiliation, and therefore, he did not make use of his omniscience. If Jesus had made use of his divine attributes while he was here on earth at all times, then he could never have gotten hungry, thirsty, sleepy, or die. And you and I would be going to hell. Because we needed a Savior. We needed a substitute. This is a tremendous passage, this Philippians, in order to help us to understand what Jesus is saying in the Mark passage. Now, part of the reason that Jesus says that not even he knows that day and hour wasn't so much to show that he was in a state of humiliation, but he was talking about the fact that when the Son of Man comes in the clouds, it will come at a time that nobody knows. And that's what verse 33 summarizes. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And then he gives this kind of analogy. Some may even think of it as a parable. It depends how you define the word parable. It's not mentioned as a parable, but kind of an analogy. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Now, what he is saying is that the man who left his home in the care of his servants and also his doorkeeper, he wants them to be ready for him when he returns home, no matter what time he comes. He's the master of the household. He may come at a time when it's time to cook him a dinner, or a time to take care of his horse, or whatever he went away on. And so if everybody is sleeping, and nobody is watching for his coming, he's going to be coming at a time when you least think of. Now, later on in Matthew, for example, we have the incident with the 10 virgins, 5 who don't have enough oil because they really don't think the master is going to be coming, or the bridegroom in this case. And of course, they're called foolish versus wise. And that's just another way of saying unbelievers versus believers. The problem with the 5 foolish, unbelieving virgins, they didn't believe his promise. And see, that's always the object of your faith, are the promises of Jesus. And he has tremendous promises for you. So you need not fear at all. Because when Jesus returns, and he will be returning soon, he could return before this program is over. Or he could be 50,000 years from now. I have no idea. But how are you prepared? What he's looking for is faith. Faith is therefore a waking state. Unbelief is a sleeping state. Don't be worried if you're sleeping at home when Jesus comes on Judgment Day. No, because what he's looking for that, from his point of view, will make you awake is whether or not you have faith. And that faith is faith in his promises. And those promises, of course, are the fact that God is going to be taking care of you. And you need not fear. You need not fear that he's coming at a time when you're not prepared. For those who have faith in Jesus Christ are always prepared. In fact, I want to say a couple of things before the end of the program. We really had some prepared Christians yesterday in Owensville and Bell, Missouri. Really enjoyed going to both places. Had, I think, a wonderful worship service at each place. Bell had the Lord's Supper. And, had some donuts at Owensville. But looking forward, maybe someday to go back there. They have a wonderful pastor. And he permitted me to preach at both places yesterday. Next Sunday, which will be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm going to be at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton, Illinois. The Bible class is at 8:30. The worship service is at 9:30. And by the way, if you'd like to see me this week, Zion Harvester is having a group at 7 p.m. out there at Zion Harvester, and we're going to be talking about reading the Bible for those who are not theologically trained. That's the subject of my discussion, and we're going to be spending an hour from 7 to 8 with a few goodies afterwards, and we'll also have some materials at a great sale. So if you'd like to be at Zion Harvester, that's here in Missouri, at 7 p.m., we'd love to see you there. It's open to the public, just like the services at Owensville and Bell were open to the public, as well as at Trinity Lutheran in Hoyleton, Illinois. The point we wanted to make today is that Jesus is divine. Jesus is human. But while he was here on earth, he was in this state of humiliation. He humbled himself, not making use of his divine prerogatives. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter tried to protect Jesus and the other disciples with swords, he said, hey, I could call legions of angels, and they would take care of, you know, these soldiers. But no, the Bible needs to be fulfilled. It's the same kind of thing he said to John the Baptizer when he was to be baptized. John says, hey, you should be baptizing me. Why am I baptizing you? And Jesus says, to fulfill all righteousness. You see, the Apostle Paul in Romans, which is the best book from a theological point of view in the Bible, explaining your salvation, indicates that Jesus became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. And the way he became sin for you is that the Father declared him to be sin. And that's why he was baptized by John, because he was your substitute in taking upon, even at that point, your sin. And his determined walk to the cross in Jerusalem 3 years later for the purpose of taking upon himself the punishment that you and I deserved. So that in his earthly life, though he is still God, he does not make use of those divine attributes, and therefore, like a human being, is tired, thirsty, hungry, and can even die. And all that was set up from before the foundation of the world by the Holy Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So to kind of summarize, Jesus was totally omniscient up to the point of his conception. And then from there till his ascension into heaven, he had humbled himself, as Philippians 2 says, for one reason, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2, 10, and 11. On the basis of our text that we wanted to talk about for this coming Sunday, which is Mark 13, verse 32. And we'll be talking about the hymn of the day, I believe, on Wednesday when we have a little bit more time. For tomorrow, we're going to have our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith, here to answer your questions. We're only live 3 days this week because of Thanksgiving. They have prepared programs Thursday and Friday, so we won't be in the studio. But if you would like to talk to us or to write us, lawgospel@lawgospel.com, particularly if you have a question for Pastor Mark Smith, we'd love to hear from you. Till tomorrow then, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
This is Alan.